You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now Matt Hart joins us in studio today. How are you doing today?
Oh, good, thanks, Joel. Kia ora, good to see you.
Yeah,
you've been flying solo today.
Flying solo. Evie is not here.
She's, how's your energy?
Kind of up there. Like my heart's racing right now.
Yeah.
It was very much working to the wire once again. But no, it was a good show.
Oh, that's just great. That's great.
Yeah, did a bit of planning on Friday, so that helped quite a bit.
Yeah.
But yeah. Now, what are we're catching up on what we spoke about last week.
Yeah, so last week we introduced, obviously, I mean, it's quite nice to connect with the culture, isn't it, and what's going on at any one time. And last week we started to explore Adolescence, which has dropped on Netflix.
Yeah.
Four shows, a mini-series, they call them, an extraordinary piece of TV making.
Absolutely.
We talked about that. You and Evie's homework was to go away and view it. And you've done your homework, Joel.
I have. Yep, finished it last night.
Okay, so before we get into it, first thoughts, responses, spontaneous thoughts.
Incredible. Probably one of the best TV series I've ever watched. As someone who did a film production degree, just thinking about how everything's a one shot, like each episode, each 1 hour long episode is a one shot. It's crazy.
It's an incredible undertaking, isn't it?
Exactly. And the acting is, like, superb.
Oh, it's off the chart. I mean, there's so much to unpack there. But I went back through, while you guys were doing your homework during the previous week, I went back through and watched all the making of and did the podcast and the stories and the readings. And I think that goes to some reason, I'd love to hear your thoughts, about why it has blown up.
Mm.
It's not just the content and the subject, which was very topical. It doesn't propose an easy solution at the end. It leaves it open.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the way they made it made you feel like you were participating in not just a television show, an experience of viewing, right?
It's like a mix of theater, because obviously there's like no cuts in theater, and just a long continuous take, which is a huge feat that I've not seen anywhere, really. Like, I think the longest single take I've seen was in the first season of True Detective, or like another movie I watched where it was like maybe 10 minutes or so, but an hour long is insane.
It's extraordinary. And I think I was listening and heard, you know, that film 1917 by Christopher Nolan.
Yes, I haven't seen it, but I know of it.
So there's that looks like it's done in one take, but they think that the actual longest take in that film was 8 minutes.
Right.
And that was an extraordinary undertaking.
Oh, of course.
And
8 minutes is no easy feat, but an hour?
An hour. And you realize how some of them, you know, they took 4 to 5 takes. And apparently the you've finished it. Although we shouldn't give away any spoilers.
No, of course not. Yeah.
But that last extraordinary show was 8. I think it was 18. I think if I
17 on during the last episode
they got it. Yeah, something like that.
That would make sense. But still, 18. That's like 18 hours of, well, roughly give or take.
Yeah,
that's incredible.
Incredible. And so specifically, a couple of things in terms of, you know, we talked last week about the emotional resonance, the themes it's speaking to and why it's connecting. You know, it's been viewed, I think, last check was 66 million times.
Mm.
It's only dropped 2 weeks or something.
Yeah.
You know, top 10, 43-plus countries around them, something like that.
Mm.
Thoughts on you? What are the elements of it that really stick with you?
Definitely the one shot is probably
so
like a really big one.
It's really, yeah.
Yeah, technicality-wise. I also think, like, the main character, the young boy, is a fresh face in film. I think this is his debut.
Yeah, he's never acted before,
fresh to acting in general, and he does this. And since then, he's gotten offered a position at Wuthering Heights, the live-action movie that's coming out soon.
Oh, has he? I didn't know
that. Yeah, yeah. So, like, he's going to go very, very far.
But
for that to be your debut, let alone, like, you know, acting debut, ridiculous, and you did such a great job.
Have you seen Toxic Town? I haven't watched that. That's on Netflix as well.
No.
So the same writing team that did Adolescence did Toxic Town, and that got rave reviews for its writing. So obviously there's just a supreme amount of gathering of talents that have made this thing.
Yeah,
I think what's also extraordinary about it, beyond the show, beyond its technical aspects of how they made it, is that it's shining a new light on this idea of soft power.
Mm.
From the UK, written by the UK, made in the UK, originally developed with Amazon, actually, and then Netflix picked it up, done with Plan B, you know, the Brad Pitt story, all of that's in there. But it comes from the UK. It's a UK story, but it's travelled around the world. And I think it's an example of this thing we call cultural soft power.
Mm.
Hard power being, you know, military might, etc. Soft power being what your culture can produce through the arts.
Right.
And I was interested in your take, being media student here in New Zealand, now on radio. You know, do you think something like that could be made here?
Oh, that's a really, really good question. Yes and no. But I don't know. What about you?
My thoughts are I think we're losing our soft power. Mm. You know, the current government regime is taking money away from New Zealand On Air, you know, Creative New Zealand. It's reducing its investment in our creative output. And the way that New Zealand can punch in the world is, yes, we have agricultural primary products that go out into the world. That's one way. We have our sporting prowess. That does really well, punching our soft power. But also we had big bands, big music, literary, you know, books, etc., writers. And then we had film and TV and some of those big film. And, you know, when was the last time we saw a piece of New Zealand content from the arts blow up globally and carry our soft power into the world?
Mm, I'm trying to think.
It's a good question, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think this, and so if adolescence is an example of the talent that's in the UK, and it's also mirroring back into their world, you know, could that have been done by the BBC? Could it have been done by terrestrial broadcasters? The answer is probably no.
Yeah.
You know, these streamers now have so much power and so much reach. And if you're an artistic creator, you're creating a piece of an extraordinary idea and content. You want that seen by the biggest audience as possible.
Yeah.
You've got to go to those sort of platforms. And they have the money to invest to give you the creative license to innovate, the freedom to create.
Yeah. I feel like this is surprising coming from Netflix as well. I mean, I don't know too much about Netflix, but I'm assuming because it's such a big company that kind of limit the creative ability a director, writer, producer would have, they'd kind of have to follow along certain guidelines. Because doing a one-shot take for an hour-long episode four different times is such a gamble, especially money-wise. Because each take, there's more money filing in, actors need to get paid, everyone needs to get paid. So if you keep, like, 18 times for that last... for that last episode,
for that show, whatever it is. I mean, don't quote me on that number. I read it, heard it somewhere. But I think this is what we're now seeing. Someone like the Netflix that is a big commercial engine is now encroaching on the idea of a BBC sort of local story show that may have done that before. Now they're doing that. And I think it speaks to the bigger role of ideas in our lives and that we're no longer are we passive consumers. Mm. We're now active participants. Mm. And you show that content like this, stories like this that resonate globally, that speak to what's happening in the culture, that has people create a conversation around it that they want to be part of.
Yeah.
You know, now everyone knows, I've got to watch Adolescence because I'm going to feel like I'm part of.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, what's going on in the world, and there's very few ideas that do that anymore.
Yeah.
And you show that there's a latent need, right?
Yeah. The camera kind of acts as like its own point of view into the matter, right? Like, as you said, it feels like you're there with them. Even, like, I was never raised in England or anything like that. I've been there for, like, 4 weeks.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's like living day to day nor going to a school there, but I can understand what's going on through each episode. Like, it doesn't explicitly tell you what's going on, but you can just kind of pick apart.
Because it's an experience. Because you're having that experience. And they've got this great line, the guys talk about it when they're talking about why they made it that way, is that the camera doesn't blink.
Yeah.
And a story like that that is so intense, and it's a viewing experience, you feel like you're part of it, so that's the experience you're having. And then you take that off that and start to talk about it. And the last thing to say is that they designed it in a way, or they hoped, and it has proved to be successful, that it would spark a conversation
between
parents and kids.
Yes.
We're doing that right now.
Exactly, 100%. All right, I think that's all we have for today, Matt Hart. Thank you very much for joining me on the show.
Cheers, Joel.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.